Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.
That you would be, and I am Michael Sterling, I think.
I will be Andrew David James today, then.
Okay, or a good reasonable facsimile.
That's right. At least I'll play the part.
It's too darn hot, Andrew.
Oh, I tell you.
It's 82 degrees.
And people are driving like it's hot, too. Do you see the anger on the freeways?
Oh, yeah.
You can see people starting to boil over, so be careful out there today.
Well, the anger I can't really differentiate from the normal anger. But, you know, that's a whole other story. But it's not so much the 82 degrees, it's the 82% humidity that we had yesterday.
Right.
And I'm not sure if it's the same today, but it kind of feels like it.
You can feel people everywhere just getting agitated.
Yeah. Yeah. Even my dogs are like looking at me like, yeah, no.
We're not moving.
No.
You bring the water over here, Daddy.
You bring the outside inside so we can go pee-pee. You know?
Right.
Oh, my goodness. We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most popular and prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
We are indeed. And you know, Andrew, here on State of the Arts, we take pride in highlighting the wide range of talent that we have, you know, throughout the entire Southland.
Absolutely. Today's guests, of course, are a perfect example of that, right, Michael?
Indeed.
A husband and wife team that make up part of my favorite local band, The Sound of Ghosts.
Yeah, it's kind of like Lucy and Ricky.
I had actually that's right. That's exactly right. Do you guys do Babaloo by chance?
We haven't yet.
It's not in their set list yet.
Now, look, I'm what you call a conceptual artist. Have you guys considered the possibility maybe of doing your first album as just dead sound and saying that is The Sound of Ghosts? Did you?
We never considered that.
You
we
wanted
didn't.
It to be quote unquote good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's your choice. I go a different direction.
Yeah, maybe the second album, you know. It's Andrew, never too late.
Yeah, exactly. As you know, Andrew, of course, the best introduction to any band is through their music, right?
So
why don't we take a moment and play something that lets us hear the music and also the artist behind it.
It sounds like a good plan. This is Song Number 9, yeah. Song Number 9 by Sound of Ghosts.
sexy is hardly a good enough word to use for that music.
That's oh, the music.
Totally
I thought you were talking
sexy.
About me. Excuse me. Oh. I see where you're going with
that. That goes without saying, doesn't it?
You know, it's got such a good feel to it.
Seriously,
a really
guys.
Good feel.
Tex-Mex country music. This this has that vibe. Add Nashville to your tour here.
Stretches a lot of genres. You're right. Absolutely.
It really. It's or I see it as the opening of a big, you know, cinescopic movie.
Right.
We get that so much.
Actually, a few people, you know, and not connected at all, have said that the certain songs would be good for Quentin Tarantino films.
Oh, that's so
that's
true. That is so true.
Yeah. Can you make that happen?
Yeah, right. So let's go ahead and write that check.
Are you with anybody as far as them placing your music? Do you have
not
representation?
As of now.
You
got to
do that.
We are. Yeah, we're a completely independent grassroots type of band, and basically everything we do is on our own right now. But we're always open to building new relationships.
Cool. Well, we're definitely trying to make some of that happen through your words today. I tell you, I got such a good feel from your music, and we're going to talk a little more about that later, and I'm anxious to discuss some of that. One of the things about this cool thing, Michael, was you and I got a chat back and forth a little bit this week on getting these two great artists on.
That's right.
But I didn't get a chance to talk to you much about your week personally. How was your week?
Well, thank you. It was good, you know, despite the heat, but I think the highlight for me this past week was going to the opening of Carole King's, I shouldn't say Carole King's Beautiful, it's Beautiful, which is the music and life of Carole King currently on stage. This last June 24th was the opening of this Tony Award-winning Broadway musical, Beautiful, currently in the midst of its U.S. national tour at Hollywood's Pantages Theater. When I say this, this is not, I'm not just saying this randomly, the words spectacular, heartfelt, infinite joy hardly truly also seem enough to capture such a superb look into the life and timeless music of the incomparable Carole King, and yet that word incomparable, when you see this show, it is so impeccably done.
Yeah.
And you, from the second that she walks out on stage, the young lady playing her, and the 2,700 people in that theater, 2,700 people were beside themselves.
Wow.
It was like a concert, yet it's a definite musical theater piece. It is dramatic. It is sensitive. It portrays the darker times, you know, and what she went through with her husband and his infidelity and things of that nature. And I must do a shout-out to the young lady that plays Carole. Her name is Abby Mueller, and the young man who plays her husband, Liam Tobin, and Ben Fankhauser, who plays Barry Mann, and also Becky Gulsvig, who plays Cynthia Weil, for their mesmerizing performances.
Wow.
And I say to anybody that's listening to this program today, be ruthless about getting tickets to see this show. It is something that you will remember for a lifetime. It was totally life-changing for me, really.
Awesome. Wow.
Musically speaking and in all other ways. So tickets, ladies and gentlemen, now through July 17th, visit HollywoodPantages.com.
That's great to hear. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it so much. It's
really? Cool. And what about your week? You saw some theater, too.
Good. I did. In fact, I was at the Magic Castle two nights ago where we saw a bunch of shows and had a great time down there. And before that, I'd had the chance to go out to one of our favorite locations, the Falcon, and we just had a great time there. I took Ed Hall, a good friend of mine, and we went to go see Tennessee Williams Unscripted.
Yes.
With Dan O'Connor in it, a friend of the show, and a bunch of amazing improv artists. I got to tell you, as strongly as you felt about Beautiful, I felt that way about this show in the fact that it allows you to step back, relax, and laugh in the most organic way I've ever had the chance to. It was so much fun. The idea of this improv isn't like anything you've ever seen before. They actually create an entire show. So you get to watch artists who don't just say words that they've memorized. They have to create story. They have to deal with interesting things.
They're doing
that
it
pop
by
up.
Taking suggestions out from a they pick out suggestions.
They actually
from the
get
audience?
Them live from the audience.
Oh, live.
In fact, it's interesting because they'll get three or four and they'll kind of pick from the ones that they need to build their story around. But you can tell that there's nothing that's preset.
Right.
It's incredibly organic, and you get to see creative minds at work in a way that you rarely get to see anywhere else in this town. If you like to study theater, if you study improv, or if you just enjoy a good time, getting out to the Falcon is one of the best things you can do for a young performer because it says don't ever go complacent.
Right.
Keep yourself learning and growing, and improv is a great way way to do it. It was one of the most enjoyable nights we've had out at the theater in a long time. So.
Sweet.
Lots of
and
fun.
Another husband and wife team with Dan O'Connor.
That's right.
And his lovely wife, who's in the company of
and
that show.
And she's funny. She was channeling Kristen Wiig through this entire... She was hilarious. And Dan, of course, is, it's funny. You get an idea of different people's improv style. Right. And Dan was like a panther waiting to pounce on the joke that was hidden under some of it. It was amazing. You could see him crafting it as he went along. And every single person in there, Mike McShane, who didn't perform that night but has a wonderful reputation, who I've known a little bit. And you watch these people and you realize how hard improv is to do. Mm-hmm. And they do it for an hour and a half straight to create a full show. It's amazing. Really fun. Yeah.
And the audience
they
is...
Didn't they do a Shakespeare one
they
too?
Did.
And
they've,
Sondheim?
Yes. It's
amazing. I saw the Shakespeare and it blew me away.
So to improv in verse and for songs, unbelievable.
Me and Hannah are actually really both big theater fans, from musicals to, you know, typical theater to improv.
Yeah, we'd like to see a lot.
Yeah, we go to a lot of shows, musical theater being backgrounds and all.
Cool.
It's kind of funny.
Cool. One of the things I like to hear about, you know, husband and wife teams that get out there and do what you guys do is you get to see kind of the state of the arts in LA. You get to very quickly learn from other artists and that sort of thing. That's got to have had an effect on your careers as well, kind of looking and seeing what other creative people are doing.
Definitely. That's huge for us. We know a lot of bands that don't really support other artists and they don't really go and see other people, or maybe they'll play a show and they play their set and they leave immediately and they don't see anybody else's. But for us and everyone in our group, we think it's so important to go see other people and support other people, and also just to take in, like, what is it that other artists are doing and creating, and how can we bring that into our sound and be inspired by that?
Cool. And definitely being a part of, like, a community also helps. You know, we have a few bands that we play with quite often, and we've kind of built our own little, you know, like, community, and being able to play shows together, and I think feeding off each other. And, like, those groups, you know, I found that we kind of tend to move towards people that are doing that same thing, like sticking around for other bands and supporting and, like, you know, spreading the word, even if they're not on the bill that night. It's cool.
Sure.
And that's kind of the joy of creating for us, you know, as opposed to, like, the competitive, how can I be better at this creative thing that we don't do together?
Well, should tell people who we're talking to here on State of the Arts on LA Talk Radio.
Excuse me. Absolutely. That lovely piece of music that we heard, song number 9, right?
Correct.
Song number 9.
By the Sound of Ghosts. And sitting to my left here in the studio today is one of the people responsible for that amazing sound. Anna Orbison began her career in musical theater and has been seen in shows across the country, including off-Broadway. She can be heard on the original cast recording of Ring in Brooklyn and has performed her solo works in front of crowds of thousands. Her television and film credits include Distortion, Nightmare, and Revolution, where she played a fallen archangel who came to save humanity. In 2014, she founded the band The Sound of Ghosts with her husband and brother-in-law. Their debut album, Come Home, is now out and can be purchased on their website, thesoundofghosts.com. Please welcome Anna Orbison.
That's brought the whole crew with you today, my
goodness.
Yeah, it's
my entourage.
Well, now, Michael, you'd asked before, and I gave you a stall. Let me tell you how I met this amazing artist.
Yeah, please do.
We were cast in a wonderful little show, a wonderful little film that was originally called Cole, I believe. Was it originally called Cole or Project A?
Oh, yeah. It had a few different names.
Right?
Project A may have been first.
And the release title eventually came out as Revelation, and it's a show where she plays an archangel who comes back. It's written by an amazing director and writer, and you come back down and you meet this woman and you find out that she's Gabriel, correct?
Yeah.
And it was one of the, we shot, I think it was a short, so it was over just a couple nights, but boy, we were thrown into a fire with a great group of people and just dug in. It was such a great creative experience.
It was very fun.
From the good people at 17 Films, which is one of our favorite little production companies. So it was a fun time to meet, and you really learn how much you care about somebody when you work with them in that situation. You know you need to trust them.
Shouldn't have trusted me.
Right? Met Anna as an actress, though.
I did.
Not
yeah.
as a singer.
And
so, but that led you to going to see the band, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting. I've actually never seen you guys live. I've followed you on Facebook and seen your live performances. But I've got a number of friends who have been to their performances and enjoyed everything they've done. Okay. The sound is one. It's on my gym soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
So it's one of my workout songs.
Yeah. Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah.
That is awesome. And it's a very unique sound. That's what I particularly was drawn to. It's not what we're hearing today, you know, on the airwaves. But I'm serious. That has got great legs for country music, which is the rage right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely based in, like, that roots, you know, roots.
Americana sound,
you know, and polling. We're very lucky to, you know, the band, besides us, we have four other members. And we between all of them, we have a vast array of instruments that everyone plays. We have a trumpet player and a fiddle player, and she also plays mandolin and ukulele. So, like, we're able to kind of pull from all these different areas to create.
And everyone has a different music background, too, which is really interesting. Like, from heavy metal to musical theater to
ska to punk.
Rap. Wow. I mean, it's just we have a lot of different elements coming together. So I think that's why we tend to write songs maybe a little bit differently than other people might.
And a good-looking group you are.
Oh, thank you.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Everybody's, like, good-looking.
They should. Well, they're all from the same family, man. Yeah. How many family members are in this band?
My brother-in-law, our brother-in-law, Ernesto, who is Ernesto Rivas, who is a guitar player.
He's the one that was
a headbanger. Yeah. He is married to my sister Jennifer, and then Christian Robinson, who is our trumpet
cousin,
player,
yeah.
is her cousin, who's her cousin, and became by default.
The tall blondes happen to be related.
Yeah, right. And then we have John Sarna and Phoebe Silva, and they, you know, although they are not direct family, they have become family to
us.
Anna has known Phoebe since college, mm-hmm. and me and John have played in other bands before as well. So, we're all one big happy family.
Yeah.
Who writes the music and who writes the lyrics, or is it a combined effort?
It's a combination. Ernesto Rivas, we jokingly call him like a lick machine. Like, he just comes up with these things and he'll text the little clips to us. So
yeah, he's constantly
comes up with stuff.
Like 30-second clips of song ideas from Ernesto, probably like 5 to 7 times a week.
Yeah, I think the only reason we don't get more is because he realized we couldn't listen to all of them.
He's got to buy that website, the Human Lick Machine. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Although you may get some strange visits.
I know that might go a little wrong, but it tends to start with maybe something like that, and then James and myself write the lyrics, and we usually kind of come together, the three of us, to put together the song in one way or another. Maybe James comes up with a song idea, or I do, or Ernesto, but it all.
Yeah, you know, Ernesto usually, you know, like she said, he'll come up with like an original lick. We'll get together and kind of like build a song structure from there.
Cool.
And then we'll take that to rehearsal and kind of get everyone's feedback and go from there. And like Anna said, when it comes to lyrics, it's usually, you know, depending on the song, it's either a joint thing or she'll take the reins or I'll take the reins.
But do the lyrics come after you've established the
sometimes
melody?
Yeah.
Most of the time,
yes. We'll establish like a structure of a song before we put lyrics to it. But, you know, we have a couple newer ones that she actually had ideas for.
Yeah. My brain works differently.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
At least it works. That's all you need to worry about.
Yeah. 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 Usually I'll do lyrics and a melody. That's if I'm writing a song myself, that's what I'll
and then we'll
come up with
that,
first, and then we'll fill it out.
Build around it.
Yeah.
But,
cool.
You know, I think every song is kind of different for us and how we come across it.
That's our goal as well as our process.
Well, and it's what works for you, and it obviously works very well. Now, you guys just released your debut album, Come Home, correct?
Yes.
That is correct.
And it's going to be, it's out now. People can now get it
right
on your website, of course.
Website.
soundofghost.com.
Yeah. Yep. You can also get it on iTunes and Spotify and on any other service you can imagine.
Now, you're going out on tour here. I believe your first date is in Las Vegas. Is that correct?
It is.
Now, if I go to Las Vegas on a first date, I don't ever make it to my second date. That's the problem.
Yeah, we're hoping we make it to Denver after that.
I end up
That's
at the craps
goal.
Table and just never leave.
Never leave.
So, now, what, you guys go to Denver after that. How many dates do you currently have booked right now?
We have 6 booked right now.
Mostly in the Southwest, is that correct?
Yeah, it's all Southwest tour.
From Las Vegas, as you mentioned, to Denver and Aspen in Colorado.
Let's add dates to those things.
Right.
Yeah. We're playing July 2nd at the Double Down Saloon in Las Vegas, Nevada. July 3rd, we're playing at the Three Kings Tavern in Denver, Colorado.
On the 4th of July, which we're super excited about, we're going to play Aspen Brewing Company in Aspen, Colorado.
You think there'll be some drinking going on?
There may be some craft brews happening at that show.
Right.
Then July 5th, we go back to Denver to Lost Lake Lounge. We're also really excited about that show. It's a great venue.
And then we're trying to book a show in New Mexico, so if anyone has any leads.
Right.
We potentially have a show. It's just not nailed down.
TheSoundOfGhosts@gmail.com.
Yeah.
But if not, it will be a travel day. And then we head to Arizona July 7th at the Lost Leaf, which is this looks like an amazing little cool house.
Art space. Yeah, that's in Phoenix.
It looks awesome. Mm-hmm. And then we're ending up at the Surly Wench Pub in Tucson, Arizona on July 8th. And you just can't get a better name than that for
right?
a place to play.
And there's a chance you might be in San Diego, right?
Yes. That's another one that we're currently trying to work out.
Nail out the details.
Yeah.
Well, if you're in Las Vegas or if you're in, obviously, Colorado, I'm a Boulder guy, so there's a great there's a great music scene all the way through you know, Colorado, and a lot of those southwestern states really love independent music right now. It's a great place to be, but if you're out there, look for these locations and get out there and see this amazing band, The Sound of Ghost, and you won't be disappointed. It's a really cool sound and really very, very unusual for right now. So I was hooked immediately, obviously. Now, you had been kind enough to say that we might be able to give an album away.
Oh, yeah.
I suggested throwing it out the window, but that apparently is not the best way to do it.
That's not what she meant.
Okay. That's not what I meant.
I get very confused. Now, what if we were to say, I believe we said one album to, let's say, the fifth emailer. Is that all right?
Uh-huh.
So if any of our listeners out there want to go ahead and jot down this email address, stateofthearts@gmail.com, stateofthearts@gmail.com. We'll be taking the fifth emailer, and we will go ahead and get you a copy of Come Home by The Sound of Ghost. How does that sound?
And you know what? Let's also give them the Facebook information, too.
Of course, you can go to Facebook and you can look at us.
That's an alternate way.
Although our radio show name keeps getting longer and longer. I added a middle name once Paul Strolley was gone. So now it's State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James. Is that correct? Okay. So you can go to Facebook and you can just type in State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, and you could certainly contact us there as well.
Indeed.
Awesome.
Whew, that was a lot of info.
Right? Exactly.
We'll take a break.
You've got to retain that info if you want the album.
Right?
We're for it. That's right. Now, one of the things I wanted to ask you guys as you head out on this tour, and we're going to do a live arts calendar here in a minute, come back and talk to James as well, but what is it like to work with your spouse all day and then go home and see your spouse all night? Is that a great thing or is it challenging?
Well, you know, we don't, because both of us have other things going on, sometimes we don't see each other at all. James is working on a show right now that can definitely take up a lot of his time. So it's kind of nice. We get a lot of each other in small bursts, and then we'll get like none of each other if we're working on different things. So,
which I think is really cool about, you know, being able to make music with your wife. You know, we have this, like, when we have rehearsals, obviously it's time together as well, and just I can't describe the feeling of how awesome it is that I get to make music with my wife and that we're like, we get to make this beautiful thing together and then we get to share it with everyone. Like, not many people have that opportunity. So it's a pretty amazing feeling.
That's great, man.
I imagine really cool. So. And how long have you been married?
15 minutes. It happened in the elevator. That's why the marriage is working so well.
Yeah, it's been great so far. What are we at? 9 months or something like that?
Yeah, recently. We got married last October.
Yeah.
So it's been awesome, you know. And,
and how long were you courting each other?
We dated for 3 years to the day of our marriage.
Yeah, we got married.
And then we were friends for like 2 or 3 years before that.
We knew each other previously, and it was funny. If you would have asked either one of us when we first met that we would be married in 5 years, we would have laughed at each other.
Really?
Yeah, no. I was like, what? No.
Yeah. But here we are, and, you know, I couldn't be happier.
Well, and you both have, you've entrenched yourself in L.A. life. I mean, there's no doubt that you're doing music, obviously, but you have a lot of other things you're doing. You teach yoga, is that correct?
Yeah.
And I've seen you in photo shoots. You're very bendy.
Yes.
My goodness. Yeah. I pulled a muscle just watching her do some of these things. And James, of course, you're a show, you do post-production, correct?
For TV shows, I'm a post-production supervisor, so I see you over, you know, like editorial and editors and kind of like the middleman between the network and then my company to make sure that, you know, it goes out, everything gets out, gets to air on time, and stays within budget.
Right.
Would these be shows that we would recognize?
Yeah. The last one that I just did was a show for Showtime called A Season With, where we followed Notre Dame through their season.
Cool.
It was a really cool experience, but it was just, you know, we were basically whatever was shot that week and then to the game is what aired on Tuesday.
Wow.
So we had a very small time to shoot because they were shooting at Notre Dame. So we would get footage fiber fed. We'd, you know, edit, get cuts off to the network and to
that was one of those times I never saw.
It's a full time thing. But and we got married during that show. It was a little intense. But the company I'm working at now, I finished a show called Billion Dollar Buyer for CNBC. They're also a company that does like MasterChef and Biggest Loser and other shows like that. You know, I've been with them for a while, so it's nice.
Cool.
Currently working on an MTV show, so
yeah,
I can't complain. You know, it's LA has treated me well. You know, I was born and raised here, so I got very lucky and kind of got into the industry at a younger age. At, you know, being a driver, you know, delivering when it was actual tape to Paramount and stuff like that.
The good old days.
Yeah.
Nice. Shall we take a moment and do a live arts calendar? We'll come back. Can you guys hang around with us for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Henrik Ibsen created one of literature's most compelling characters in this complex and enigmatic story about the newly married, beautiful, and instructurable wife of an academic trapped in a world she cannot bear. The beautiful and intelligent Hedda yearns to escape her marriage to a man she finds numbingly dull. Suffocated by the expectations and limitations of bourgeois society, she tries to fulfill her aimless desires by manipulating the fates of those around her, no matter how dark the outcome. First produced in 1891, Henrik Ibsen's masterpiece shocked European society, and now 125 years later, it continues to challenge audiences. Hedda Gabler marks the Antaeus Theatre Company's final production in North Hollywood as the company prepares to move to a newly renovated cultural arts complex in Glendale this fall. Performances run now through July 17th, and tickets range from $15 to $34. And to reserve your seat, simply call 818-506-1983 or visit their website, I guess I would have to say.
www.antaeus.org.
I'm not seeing that on my page. Oh, there it's on the other page. Didn't think to do it.
You know, Hedda Gabler is an amazing story. Have you seen it?
Never seen it. Oh.
It's been made into a musical, I believe, as well as other incarnations. And boy, I tell you, Ibsen's writing, you realize what a difficult time that was. Art was very restrained, and people were feeling trapped and left over. It's a very interesting subject matter, and certainly one that I think is doing very well there at the Aeneas Theater.
That's a yes. I've seen things there. I'm interested to see where they're heading, what that space is.
I agree.
Like.
Moving to the new space will be very interesting for them. Well, we certainly are lucky here that we do not have to live with some of those rigid restrictions anymore. Our next guest is a native of L.A. and began his career in music at a young age, playing the Whiskey, the Roxy, and other iconic local venues. He has toured with popular bands such as the Mercy Kiss and 87 Stick Up Kids.
That's a great name.
That's the name of the band, right? Not just 87
no.
Dude You Stuck Places Up With? Okay,
good. I was in a hip-hop group for about 5 to 6 years based out here in L.A.
Cool. I love the name. That's
means,
a great name.
Meaning you know how to do hip-hop?
I do know how to
He's
do
a hype man. Yeah. And 87 Stick Up Kids is the name of the band.
Yeah.
Wow,
correct.
Wild. And he's a founding member of the band we are talking about here today. As a post-production supervisor for film and television, he has worked on numerous projects and series, but loves nothing more than getting to write and play music with his wife and family and the sound of Ghost. Let's hear it now for James Orbison.
Please. Overwhelming.
I tell you, it was so fun to read up because obviously I didn't know you near as well as I did your beautiful bride, but we got to talk a little bit in the elevator and certainly studying up on some of the shows you've worked on. You've been working as a post-production guy for years, correct?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Like I said, you know, I got very lucky and got an opportunity at a very young age to kind of like get in at ground level, and I worked for a company called 4MC, which no longer exists, but it was over there by the Photochem buildings here in Burbank. And, you know, kind of from there, worked as a delivery guy, just taking tapes back and forth to Paramount and whatnot, and then slowly, you know, worked my way up to like a stage manager, and then I got my first opportunity working on an actual TV show. It was a show called The John Henson Project for Spike TV at the time.
Wow.
And that was the guy who originally did Talk Soup. So he had his own. He had his own. It was a great experience, and I kind of was able to, you know, parlay that into other work. And then eventually I got my, I would say would be my biggest break was at Mark Burnett. I was at Mark Burnett for quite a few years, and they were the ones who were, you know, took me from being like a coordinator to a supervisor and gave me an opportunity to do my own shows. And kind of from there, I've just kept the train going. And, you know, I just feel really blessed that I was, you know, able to grow up here and kind of fall into something like that. I know, you know, I didn't go to college personally. You know, I was in bands and kind of doing that thing, and
right.
always was just like kind of working. And not that I am an advocate for not going to college, but it was just not for me. And you know, I'm again very lucky that I was able to just get in at a ground level and, you know, work hard. And many long days, many long nights, sometimes, you know, 36 hour shifts, but in the end I'm still here and I'm still alive. And, you know, I'm so grateful too, like, especially with the company that I'm at now, that I get they appreciate that I, you know, have other things
sure.
that I'm passionate about, and that they are willing to give me the time off to do something like this. You
they
know?
Like your music. They
in,
like your...
In the middle of a show, you know.
Great.
So usually that would be kind of frowned upon, but they take really good care of me. And,
wow.
And, you know, it's, like I said, I'm just really appreciative that I get to not only have a great job, but at the same time get to, you know, live my dreams and go on, you know, doing the touring stuff for the band.
Do you think they're listening to the show today?
There may be some people there at the office listening, yeah.
That's great.
So none of this is true, is it?
Right. No.
We do just so you get time off for the tour.
Hey, Kaylin. My coordinator's out there listening. Yeah, it's a company called Endemol Shine North America, and it's just one of the best. So I'm really thankful to be there, and a lot of good people there.
Cool. You've essentially established two full-time careers with touring with your band as well as post-production supervising.
Yeah.
It's a lot of hours you're putting
in. It is a lot, but, you know, it definitely is worth it.
Right.
And, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way. And I'm just really lucky that I get to do this with such an amazing group of people, and, you know, how it all kind of came together and kind of organically, and, you know, get to make music that we love. And
yeah,
it's just exciting.
One thing I love about this band is that you guys are cool. There's no doubt about it. But you got to be a little bit of a goof to especially be married to this one, right? You got to be a little bit of a goof. And I think some of that comes out. I was looking over some of your publicity photos done by an amazing photographer, Carrie Ann Francis, correct?
Yeah.
From C.A. Francis Photography. Beautiful, but they captured your personalities and who you were and what you did. And it was so funny to watch because you saw the band kind of being who they are and where that music comes from so organically. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, James has a hard time reining in his personality, so it'll come through no matter what.
You guys are a fun match both in every way.
I have a tendency to be somewhat of a ham.
Yeah.
She was telling me that she's going to start soon banning me from talking on stage because I will ramble, and then usually I'll like trip up on my words, but then I'll make a joke about it. And
it's like what he was trying to say is kind of not happening. And
do you call him out on it?
Sometimes. Yeah, we actually had somebody who comes to our shows fairly regularly, and he's like, I love seeing you guys because, James, you always say like something really weird and you say something
up.
And then you screw up, but you just keep doing it, like you just
you
keep going and you make it funny.
I gotta tell you, you guys gotta play Austin because your music seems to fit that weird.
Yeah, that's definitely on our
I
list.
Think that's a great place for you guys
absolutely.
To be.
Yeah, it's definitely one of our goals is to get out there, and like you mentioned earlier, Nashville. Like, you know, there's just so many beautiful places in this country, and like, you know, like I said, to even just do, you know, 6 to 8 days, and like for us, that's amazing. You know, we hope that it.
Yeah, that was all we could fit into everybody's schedules.
Right.
That's the one thing with having such a big group, it's hard to schedule everybody.
I'd had an interesting occurrence the other day when I was talking about touring with a family. And obviously, you guys are newly married, no children in the picture yet, unless there's anything you want to announce here on our show.
No.
James, anything you want to tell us? No? It's interesting because touring during this time in a relationship is so crucial because you can't do it later on. Not nearly as easily.
So hard.
We have so many performers come in from the Pantages and these other wonderful theaters who are making it work with a family, and that's so hard to do. Get these dates under you and love them while you can, because that's a rare opportunity to be able to do.
Yeah.
No, very fun.
We're excited.
Yeah, you know, I have a friend who I'm getting ready to work with. We're opening one of my clients. It's a regional, big regional theater called 3D Theatricals.
Awesome.
And they're out of
great
Orange
theater
County.
Company.
And they really produce Broadway caliber regional theater. It's not like the days of the old Civic Light operas anymore.
You know,
everybody's stepped up to the plate. But my friend is starring in, they're doing a revival, a big revival of Hello, Dolly.
Oh, nice. I love that show.
And my friend, Valerie Perry, who's been on this show before, is starring as Dolly. And she is someone who, her roots in theater go back to doing the first national tour of Evita as Eva Peron.
Wow. Mm.
And the reason I'm bringing this up is about what you were talking about, bringing up children and touring. She made, and she was pregnant at the time that she got the job, and she revealed that to them, and she said, and they said, she said, I'm having a baby, and she said, and I simply would have to turn down this opportunity, an opportunity of a lifetime, to do this show if you won't let me take my child.
Right. Wow.
And have my child, you know, during this process. So that's exactly what they did.
Wow.
And she and that baby went with her everywhere, you know, once it was had. And,
well, so, and probably before, too. So.
yes. But
my
it wasn't
goodness.
Easy. Can you imagine starring in a show that you, as that character, are totally responsible for?
Yeah, I mean, that is such a lead-heavy show, too.
Yeah.
It's not just an ensemble cast in that production.
I wonder if Marie is in Hello, Dolly.
I wonder,
if it's the same production.
Wow. You know, 3D Theatricals does great, great
We're
work.
Opening like in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So,
I think so.
Wow, cool.
Another
connection here
another
on stage.
Connection,
exactly.
Yes.
I never just loved the love connection.
That's
right.
Just a quick reminder, ladies and gentlemen, that we're giving away an album for the debut album for this wonderful band, The Sound of Ghost. The album is called Come Home. And if you want to email us at if you want to email us at stateofthearts@gmail.com, stateofthearts@gmail.com, we'll
you
take the fifth email.
I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Sure.
It might be stateofthearts.la.com. We had two of them different at the onset of the show.
The number of people who are going to sue us now for missing out on this.
That's why I said to go to Facebook.
Right, you're absolutely right. May we give away two?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to go ahead and we're going to give away two of these to the fifth and the 10th Facebook message we receive at State of the Arts, LA Talk Radio. Andrew James and Michael Sterling, you can Google State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, and our page will pop up, and you can message us there, and we'll give away two of these albums to the 5th and the 10th email we receive today. Cool.
Right.
Yeah, send those messages.
Right, yeah. Plus, it gets me on Facebook, which I really need more time on Facebook. I think we can all agree upon that. I want to embarrass these two people. Do you mind, Michael? Can we embarrass them a little
bit? I think so.
Oh, geez.
We do something here on this show. I've told the story of the time my daughter stood up at the back of a 1,500-person crowd and screamed, "Good job, Daddy!" during one of my sword fights with Shakespeare by the Sea. We've had people talk about all kinds of different things, but we talk about moments, something that happened during a live performance, maybe a musical performance, maybe on set, maybe for a show, something that happened to where you got embarrassed or humiliated or one way or another learned that live performance is a unique and completely associable thing with anything else we do in our lives. Is there anything you think of that pops up into your head right now?
I have a pretty good one. This goes back to like my more punk rock days.
Nice.
You know, I was probably around 20 years old. I was in a band called Second to None. And, you know, we were playing quite a lot, and we had booked this show at the Whiskey. And I think it actually was maybe the first time that we played the Whiskey. And we were so excited. And, you know, night of, whatever, we get on stage, and we're doing our thing. We're rocking out. And I had just bought one of those wireless adapters for my bass so that I, you know, so I didn't have to be constrained by a cord, and I could run around and do whatever I want. And
he doesn't want that.
I've been
known, untethered.
And I've been known, like, I love to perform. I'm a performer. I've been a ham since I was a little kid. And but, you know, I like to go 110% because if someone has paid for, you know, to come see you perform, I want everyone to give me their all when they're performing, so I want to give my all. So anyways, I was going, what I can only imagine was just crazy. And I ended up teetering on the stage and then falling backwards off the stage at the whiskey.
Landed
on my head. My legs were like straight up in the air, leaning against the stage. But because I had this wireless, I was still able to play. So I was still trying to finish the song while upside down, and I kind of just stayed there until the end of the song and then got back up. And like, it was like pretty... it was at the beginning of our set, so I still had to play. I don't know. Everyone kind of gave me like a pity clap when I got back up on stage. Like, oh,
he's still
poor
alive.
Guy.
You know, so they didn't think it was part of the the song.
Maybe if it was the last song, they would have
thought
that.
But it was, it was pretty embarrassing.
Oh,
at
my,
the time.
That will do it, my friend. That is a big one. And at the whiskey, too, of course.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it was.
Anna?
Oh, I've got so many to choose from. The first one that came to mind was my very first job. I was, 18, 17, something like that. I worked at a Six Flags in Denver at Ulitch Gardens. And we did a Hollywood musical review. So I was in the musical there, and we had like 85 costume changes in I think it was like a 28-minute show, and it was literally like everything was Velcro.
Literally,
and
you'd 85 costume changes.
It probably wasn't 85. It felt like it. It was at least 20.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was like, you know, maybe 30 seconds of a song, and then you'd layer maybe like three or four costumes on at once. So I went to do the secret agent man section. And you take off, you know, your Singing in the Rain jacket, and you throw your umbrella off, and I'm in this little velvet leotard thing, and we all had these fake hair falls, the clip-on ponytails, you know, that were like down to your mid-back. So we're doing these turns, and we're totally lip-syncing to the song. And as we are turning with my partner, my clip of hair just like whipped around and just fell out and was like this little dead animal in the center of the stage for the rest of the show. And there's like no casual way to go like
pick up your
tap dance over and grab your giant chunk of fake hair.
Especially at like 17 or 18, I'm sure.
Oh my gosh.
Absolutely right. Mortified.
Yeah, and you've got this little like bun thing or whatever that you're trying to clip it onto. It was good.
And then you're all distracted watching your ponytail.
Oh yeah, and you're trying to the whole show. You're just like, how can I go over and grab that hair?
And you were lip syncing the whole show.
Oh yeah, except for when you had solos. The solos were live, but because they would do like they would do like 12 part harmony tracks for the 10 people on stage. So yeah, it was all lip sync.
So was it actually pre-recorded though? You pre-recorded the track.
Wow.
So
it was not us.
Wow,
well, it wasn't true.
But I have been hired to do that job before. but yeah, a lot of the theme parks will do that. I don't know. I haven't been worked at a theme park in quite a while. But that was the regular thing, was the solos were live, so you had a real mic on. But then they would just mute you for the ensemble stuff because they wanted you to dance so hard that.
Right.
It wouldn't have been possible to do the vocal lines that they wrote.
The 12-part harmonies?
Yeah, the 12-part harmonies for, like, the four women or whatever.
While kickball changing your life away?
Yeah.
You know, Michael, I was sitting at the Falcon, and I had this thought based off of our embarrassing moments that when you're doing an improv show, essentially every moment in that improv show is an embarrassing moment that we could feature on our show. I mean, something's happening. That was one of the things that made that so impressive. We've talked about so many great pieces of theater and all that. Yeah. You sometimes forget how many things go into that and how many disasters happen to do live
and performance. And how much is even happening that you as an audience member never know about, right?
It's so true.
Well, and you've had some in your career, haven't you?
Far too many, unfortunately. Yeah.
Come up with one?
Well, you know, I've told a couple of the ones that are my favorites. I've told the one where I broke a rib as Tybalt and then had a coughing fit and couldn't stop laughing while I was supposed to be dead at the irony of the horrendous situation I was in, which got very bad. And of course, the story, most of mine involve my kids, which are always interesting ones. But one that comes to mind now, when I was doing a show at the Colony Theater, and maybe this is a moment to say, David Rose from the Colony Theater just recently passed away. Mm-hmm. He gave me my first professional job here in L.A. and was a great man. He's certainly a loss to the L.A. theater community, and his shows have always been top-notch. But I remember when I was about halfway through rehearsals with a really fun cast and a great group of people there at the Colony, but my car broke down. And so I found myself sleeping every night on the Equity cot at the Colony Theater, you know, because I couldn't get home and then get back. Of course, I was 19 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. I would go to a little taco stand there in Burbank and get these tacos for $2. The guy would kind of give them to me at a discounted rate, and I would take them back and sleep on the Equity
right, cot.
Right, and then I had the agreement with David that I would be out before the cleaning crew came in at like 5:30, so I was up and out early. And I remember one night I got up and I could not find my pants. I could not find my pants anywhere. Oh my gosh. And somebody had taken them with the costumes and put them up.
No.
I had no pants. So I had to borrow a pair of costume pants, old shredded costume pants, and go out in Burbank and just kill time until our show that evening. And remember, it wasn't during performance, but it certainly made an impact on my life.
Yeah, that's a good one.
At least
one.
You were in a theater where you could.
Yeah. You know, if you're going to lose your pants, and I've done it many times, that's the place to do it.
That's the place to do it. Absolutely.
Shall we give the address one more time for that giveaway, our Facebook address? We're State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James. And you can find us on Facebook there. The 5th and the 10th message on Facebook, we'll be giving away two albums. Our apologies for the misgiven email address earlier. And we should also say where you can find out more about Sound of Ghost. Would you guys mind doing that?
Yeah, we are definitely on the social medias. We're on Facebook as the Sound of Ghost and Instagram and Twitter. And we do have a Snapchat. We don't really use it, but we're going to on this tour. That's like our thing.
We're
going to
start using that. Our Twitter hashtag is...
Oh, yeah. It's a little different because they limit the number of characters. It's Sound of Ghosts LA. Everything else is the Sound of Ghosts. And then also on our website, thesoundofghosts.com.
And can people get tickets to your show in Vegas right now? How does that
work? They can. All the info is on our show page on online, or they can go onto the Facebook events, and it's all there as well. So some of the venues for tour just do purchase at the door, and some of them you can get ahead of time.
The Double Down one in Vegas, I know, is a purchase at the door.
Speaking of that, let's do the tour dates again. July 2nd at the Double Down Saloon in Las Vegas. July 3rd at Three Kings Tavern in Denver, where they will be in that in the area of Colorado, at least for that particular time period. July 4th, Aspen Brewing Company, Aspen, Colorado. July 5th, Lost Lake Lounge in Denver. Andrew?
And, of course, July 6th, they may be in New Mexico, but certainly by July 7th, they'll be in Phoenix, Arizona at the Lost Leaf. July 8th, Shirley Winch Club, which, man, oh, man, what a great name, in Tucson, Arizona. And then possibly July 9th, back here in California in San Diego. So check those dates out. Get tickets now. Put it on your calendar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much. Very nice. Very nice. And are you? Do you have a Los Angeles date in the?
We've got a few coming through. We play LA a lot, so we do. We don't sit around. That's for sure.
Yeah, we kind of have been focused on trying to get these dates for going out for this little Southwestern tour. But we play the Mint a lot, so we're working on booking another show there, either late July, early August. But there'll be definitely some more local shows coming up soon.
Yep.
Cool.
And we're always real good about letting
people
know.
We're good about keeping stuff updated.
Yeah, and if you want, you can join our little. We have a newsletter that goes out too that we try
on our website.
So you can sign up on for that.
We won't
on our
spam
website.
You a lot.
Yeah.
So far, we've sent 2 updates out.
But we do send them.
Well, yes. I noticed that we were on their website today. This program was on there, so we thank you for that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we thank you guys for coming in here today. What a pleasure to talk to you both.
Yeah,
thank you so much for having us. It's been an honor and a privilege.
Well, best of luck on the tour and the album sales. So.
And to our audience, get out there and visit soundofghost.com.
The most important thing is get out of your house.
That's right.
Go and see live performances.
Lots of good opportunities now. You can go to Beautiful, which we were talking about at the beginning of the show, at the Pantages.
The 17th of July.
Right?
Of
course, stop by the Falcon and see Tennessee Williams Unscripted. And more importantly, support the arts in Los Angeles, because the state of the arts right now is strong, and let's keep it that way.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Always a pleasure, Andrew.
Michael, a pleasure to see you as well. And
thank you.
See you next week?
On the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Andrew David James, only on LA Talk Radio.